Amen. If you got your Bibles tonight, if you would, turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. That is before the book of 2 Thessalonians. Amen. Amen. Right after Philippians, I believe. Somewhere, Colossians. Colossians, right after the book of Colossians, before Timothy. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to read one verse. I might read more than one verse. It's all according to what the Lord says to do. I probably will. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Whenever you found your spot, if you would stand in reverence to the Word of God. It's a small book. Chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 16, I reckon. That's what we'll go with. If you found your spot, say amen. Even the kids. Amen. Kids, if you found your spot, say amen. Amen. Okay, good. Verse 16 here, I'll begin to read. Rejoice evermore. Man, simple as that, ain't it? Amen. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you, God, for these words. I pray, God, that you'd use them how you feel. And Lord, you would get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise here tonight. We thank you for bringing us back into this house tonight, Lord, to glorify your holy name. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be saved. That just this morning as I preached on what I preached on there. There's one thing that I realized that stuck out to me like a sore thumb. Thankfulness. That would not leave my side. That would not leave anything. That would not leave my mind. That would not leave my heart. That would not leave my soul. That would not leave my ears, my mind, nothing. On the facts of giving thanks to God. So I thought in my mind, Lord, help me, show me, God, where exactly you want to take me to tonight, take us to. And I began to think about giving thanks and what giving thanks is concerning about, what it takes to give thanks, what it is to give thanks. And what I realized is that the verse there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, is one of the most well-known giving thanks verses in the Bible. Before I say anything else, without quenching the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to be quiet for a second. Let God have His way. If the baby's crying, that's okay. I'm just going to let God have His way for a second. Amen. The reason I did that is because I didn't want anything of my own flesh to get in the way. Amen. Amen. But I thank God for giving us the opportunity that He's given us tonight. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is one of my favorite verses because it simply says, "In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Everybody understand that verse? It's pretty simple, ain't it? The verse before it, verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pretty simple, ain't it? Pray without ceasing. Anybody know what ceasing is? It's pretty simple. That means stopping. Pray without stopping. I'm sure you understand that one, don't you, Jeremiah? Pray without stopping. Stopping what? Well, that just simply means not to stop. Then at the end, in verse 19, to quench not spirit. We got to be careful in quenching the Spirit, but most of all, our text verse tonight is 18. In everything, give thanks. I titled this tonight, Thank You, God. Thank you, God, because He's been good to me. What should we give thanks for? Everything. We should give thanks for everything. It doesn't matter what it is. It's hard to thank God for everything. I promise you, it's hard to thank God for everything. It's hard to thank God for losing a dog. Amen. It's hard to thank God for losing a kid. It's hard to thank God for losing a parent. It's hard to thank God for losing a family member, etc., etc. But can anybody explain that verse to me? Because what that verse means there, in everything give thanks. Did it say, I'm going to read that verse in my mind. And correct me if I'm wrong. For everything give thanks. Nobody corrected me. You paying attention? Everybody okay? It says, in everything give thanks. If it were for everything give thanks, that means that when your family member died, that you would have to be thankful for it. You'd have to say, God, I thank you. I thank you for killing my family member. If you will now, bear with me for a second. But it says, in everything give thanks. So if you lose a family member, if you lose someone like that, what that means is, Lord, I don't like that I lost my family member, but I thank you for the time you gave me with them. That's what that verse means there. I thank you, God, for giving me the time you did with them, what I did have on this earth with them. I thank you, God. That's how you can be thankful for something that you can't be thankful for, amen. Because you can be thankful, but thank God for what He's done in our lives. But what would happen if we just thanked Him for what He'd given us? He's given us so much. And I heard a preacher say one time, he said, what if you only had today what you thanked God for yesterday? Would we have anything? We might have our car. We might have our kids. We might have our parents. We might have food. What else would we have? Would we have the cross? Would we have Jesus? Would we have Him? Well, that's the thing. If we really thanked Him for what? If we thanked Him for everything, we'd be praying for hours on end every day. Ultimately, what we should be doing. But, giving thanks is the will of God. It is the will of God, period. As we see there, it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning who? You. Concerning us. And what we see there is, it's the will of God. It's the complete will of God to give Him thanks for everything that He's done. Remember where He brought you from, church? That's enough to thank Him for. Amen. I remember where He brought me from. Hey, RJ, if you could close that door, buddy. Doesn't matter where you're going, though. Doesn't matter anything. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't change Him. Amen? Doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't change Him. That's a phenomenal thing. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, He says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Amen. He ain't going to change, friend. He ain't going to change at all. Doesn't matter. If you're unthankful, I wrote this down. If you're unthankful, the word unthankful, as a complete reference to the word unthankful, is unholy. So if we're unthankful, that means we're unholy. There's references throughout the Bible. There's references throughout the dictionaries. There's references throughout everything. Synonyms. Everything that reference to the fact of being unthankful means you're unholy. God says, First Peter says, Jesus says, be ye holy for I am holy. The one thing we can give Him praise for is for saving our soul. For sending His Son to die. But I got 7 points, I believe. If the Lord will help me tonight, I'll preach them fast. I'll preach them fast. This morning was long, I know it really was. It was about 1 hour and 40 minutes. But I thank God for giving the words, amen. I could have went on. I could have went all day on that one, I tell you right now. God was feeding me more. I wanted to go on, but by the grace of God, He stopped me. Amen. But I tell you, number one tonight, we see that I thank God for my substances. My substances. And I thank God for all He's given me. What substances? The substances, that's a tongue twister. Substances of money. The substance is of things that means something that's there. That means something that's real. That means something that's full. That means something that like that. I don't have much money, but He's provided everything, amen. He's provided every single thing that I've ever had to worry about. Substance of mine is my house. My house that I rent, He's provided that. He's provided it completely. Everything's been perfect with it. Ain't had no problems. Besides, I locked the key in the door earlier and I had to kick the door through. But that's okay too, amen. He provided it. Amen. I thank God for that. But I tell you is that what we have is we have a house. We have houses. We all, do any of y'all live under bridges? None of y'all live under bridges, right? Okay, then He's provided you a substance. Amen. We should be thankful for it. He provided us a vehicle. Every one of us got to church tonight. He provided us vehicles or plural or whatever it may be. He's provided it. And I thank God that He's provided it. What can you just have a vehicle and make it? No, you can't. He provided the substance of fuel. Amen. He provided the substance of fuel that you could make it on that place. He provided the gas truck that brought the fuel to the gas station so you could go get it. Amen. He provided a lot of things that we could actually be thankful for if you think about it. What about the people out there they don't make the gas, but whatever they do with it. How about where it come from? What in the world? They find the gas. Then this happens. Then it gets into this truck. Then it gets into this truck. Then it finally makes it to the gas station. You got it. And then I don't know where it goes. It just disappears. Basically. That's crazy. That blows my mind. I never thought about that before. That just comes to my mind. Just disintegrates, you know, out in midair. Amen. Goes into you. To your vehicle and it's gone and then you got to pay for it again. But God gives you the substance to do it, amen. Amen. He gives you the substance to do it and we have that fuel. We have all that stuff. We have people who build houses. We have people who make vehicles. We have the BMW plant right down the road here. We have all this stuff that people can make this stuff and God gives us all the ability to have each and every one of them. Amen. I thank God that He gives us the opportunity of our substances. That we can have money. Money is a substance. Money is a very big substance. But it says the love of money is the root of all evil. But what we do have in this world is we do need money. And we do have money. And if you got money tonight, you got a substance that you can be thankful for because you wouldn't make it if you didn't have it. Amen. What about a substance of food? Any of you starve today? Any of you eat between church? I did. It was good too. I had tacos. My goodness. It was good. But if it weren't for God, I wouldn't have that substance. You know that? Yeah, man. I thank God for it. But then we see also something a little different. We see not only our substance that we can be thankful for, but we see that we have His supply that we can be thankful for. His supply, I hit on that as I went on through there, but in verse 19 of the book of Philippians chapter 4, it says this. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory for Christ Jesus. Amen. I thank God that His supply is enough. Amen. It's enough the first time. It's enough the second time. Thank God He gives it the second time. Amen. Jonah, as he wept and went on through the belly's well, the belly of the whale or the fish, there you go, I'll get it out in a second. After he gets through that in the belly of hell there, as he calls it, as he went there and he was in there and he prayed and he cried to God and God saved him out of that mess. God got him out. And chapter 3 of the book of Jonah, verse 1, it says, and God spoke to Jonah for the second time. I mean, He gave him a second opportunity to do something. He gave him a second opportunity to go to Nineveh. He didn't only stop the first time, but thank God He gives us more than one time. God give us more than one time. God give me plenty more than one time. I thank God for it too. But what we have is His supply. Has He supplied anything for you? He supplied everything for me, everything I need. He's gracious. When I do nothing for Him, He still does a lot for me. Amen. I thank God for that. My goodness, if it weren't for His supply, I would not be here today because I wouldn't have any of them substances that I just brought up the first morning. My goodness. Then we see number 3. Not only would we not have the substances or His supply, but also I'm thank God from here for my satisfaction. My satisfaction. When he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, they were satisfied. They were completely satisfied. I was full when I left this morning, amen. I was full, but I still wanted more, amen. I still wanted more, but I was full when I left. I'm satisfied with what he did here. I'm satisfied with what he did here this morning. What he's been doing here for the last 5 months. Saving so many souls. Doing the thing that's the unmeasurable that you couldn't think in your own mind. But God is God and he can do it. What I tell you is that I'm satisfied for what he done for me on that old tree. Amen. He satisfied my soul. But you know another thing. God was satisfied when Jesus died. He was satisfied. How do you know he was satisfied? Well, let me tell you. Is that the fragrance of the blood of Christ satisfied God. Because the fragrance of the animals, the bullocks and the goats and all that was no longer satisfying God. So he had to have the fragrance of some kind of bloodshed for eternal sins. And the fragrance of his own son was enough, amen. And he says when he was being baptized, for this is my son, whom I am well pleased. He was pleased at that point. And then Jesus said, "Wish ye know, I must be about my Father's business." First recorded words from Jesus in the Bible. And then, when he got at the cross and getting ready to take his last breath, he said, "It is finished." What is finished? His Father's business was finished. That means that Jesus, God said, "It is enough. I've seen enough." And to say that I'm enough, if you as a human being were to say that's enough, that means you're satisfied with what you have. So that means God was satisfied with His Son. Amen. I thank God that He was satisfied with Him, but I'm satisfied with Jesus. Because I promise you, His grace, His mercy, His love is sufficient. Amen. It's enough. Amen. It's plenty enough for me, and it's plenty enough for you. And let me just give you a little bit of newsflash this evening, is that it's enough for your kids, it's enough for your grandkids, and it's going to be enough for your great-grandkids if God sticks around that long. Amen. Thank God for what He's done for us. I'm satisfied with what He's doing. Let me see number four, my strength. Not only am I satisfied with all the things that come on, being the whole the supplies that He's given us and the wonderful substances that He's blessed us with, but I'm also satisfied with His strength, with the strength that He's given. What do you mean? I thank God for the strength that He's given me. In the book of Psalms, David, thank God I turned right to. In the book of Psalms, David talks about strength a lot. But in 18 verse 2, says this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Amen. "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." I tell you that our strength comes through God. Our strength comes through the high tower, through God, through my Father, my Lord, my Savior. It comes through that. It comes through nothing else. There's no strength in anything else alone. But let me tell you, is that word strength there is said 232 times in your King James Bible. It must be pretty important, amen. I tell you, it must be pretty important. There's 1,189 chapters in the King James Bible. Chapters in the King James Bible. There's 1,100 of them. There's 66 books in your King James Bible. And what there is there's 232 times that the word strength is used. I tell you, it must be important. Must be important. But God is my strength is used 11 times. The phrase, God is my strength, is used 11 times. It must be important to you. Because the phenomenal thing about it is that He did say it 11 times, because one time was enough. Amen. One time was enough of Him telling us that God is my strength. And if God is the strength of Jacob, and God is the strength of David, and God is the strength of Asaph, and God is the strength of Solomon, and God is the strength of every single one of them Old Testament men, all the way in through the New Testament men, then God is the strength for you today. Amen. Because why? He does not change.
Amen.
He does not change. And what we have is a God that is very, very much enough strength for me. It's strength for what? Strength enough to get up in the morning. Amen. Strength enough to get up in the morning when I'm tired and I don't want to get up. Strength enough to press on. Amen. When I didn't think I could go any farther, when I didn't think I could, I looked up and God had something inside of my heart. Like Jeremiah said in the book of Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, He says, I can't quit because I got a fire burning inside of my bones. It stirred me up, and I thank God that when I thought I could quit, when I thought I was going to give in, when I thought I couldn't go any farther, I had a fire burning inside of my bones. And I could not give up. Amen. I will not speak on your name anymore, God. I will not tell anybody about you. And that's what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah the prophet said that. But he remembered. He had a fire burn up in his bones. Shut up in his bones. And when you got a fire burn up, shut up in your bones, you can't quit nothing. Because that fire is going to keep on raging. And keep on raging. And what has to happen is that you got to press on. And when you get to the mark, Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. What is that high calling? That high calling is heaven. Amen. And one day I'm going to be there, but I'm pressing towards it while I'm here. Amen. And I thank God that we have the strength to get up, the strength to press on, and the strength to smile. Amen. I can smile when things ain't going my way. I can smile when I don't know what's going to happen. I can smile when I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Why? Because tomorrow, I might not know what tomorrow brings, but thank God I know who holds tomorrow, amen. I know who's going to bring it. I know who's going to supply it. I know who's going to help me. I know who's going to give me the substances to make it. I know who I'm going to be satisfied with, and thank God I know who my strength comes from. Amen. And that's what we can settle with, because thank God, like I've said many times, it's signed, it's settled, and I'm saved. And I ain't got another thing to worry about in this wicked world, because one day I know I'm going to wake my eyes up and I'm going to look and I'm going to see Jesus. And when I get there, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to see Him. I'm going to be standing beside Him. I'm going to be at His feet, and I'm going to be able to bow, and I'm going to drop my crown at His feet. And I'm going to say, Lord, I thank You, God, for all You've done for me. But right now, while I'm on this earth, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to still say the same thing. I thank You, God, for what You do for me.
Amen.
Because He is enough. And He supplied every single one of my needs according to His riches and glory. And what we have here is we have some people in this day and age who can't be thankful for a thing. I don't know if I'm talking about anybody in here. But what I am talking about is I know there's some people who cannot be thankful for anything. It seems like it doesn't matter if they have $1 million in their pocket, they ain't thankful for it. Like, my goodness. You got people out there thankful for a dime. I mean, you got people over in the Philippines thankful for flip-flops. Flip-flops don't even keep your feet warm. You man. But what they do is they give them some soul on their feet. Y'all better be glad I only got about 30 minutes of a voice. I ain't got much. It's about gone. But I tell you, is what we have is that we have this thing in this life where people are ungrateful and unthankful. But you talk to some of those missionaries like I have and see what those people have to deal with over there. Old Dressel was telling me a story, and he was telling me that over there in Brazil, on the Amazon, he said, those people don't care. He said, they'll boat 5 hours to go to church. He said, I'm paddle now, 5 hours to go to church. He said, they'll walk through in the rainy season, they'll walk through mud that's knee-deep to come to church. He said, but they still come to church, amen. He said, and they'll pack the houses out every week. He said, because they're faithful and they want to be there. They want to worship. Because that's the only, if you don't know anything about them, that's the only day that they have any slack. Because the rest of the days of the week, they're going as hard as they can go in 105 degree weather. I think I would go to the house of God too. But when we don't have to do that, do we still go to the house of God? No, we don't, because we're ungrateful. But His strength is enough. And my strength He's given me that strength, something I can rest upon. He's given me my substances, my supply, my satisfaction, my strength, but also what He's doing. Number five is He's given me a new song. He's given me a new song. In the book of Psalms again, chapter 40, it talks about that. Psalms chapter 40, verse 3, it says this. Actually, I'm going to read one. I waited patiently for the Lord. I don't know if you know, you were here for the day that the missionary Drissell will come up here, but he actually preached out of this right here. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Amen. I had different plans. You know that? When I was in the world, I had a different going. I was going a different way, but thank God when He saved my soul, He pulled me out of the mire and put me in the choir. He set me off the sinking sand and put me on the rock. He also established my goings. My plans began to change, amen. And what else He done is, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. There's a bunch of people turning aside to lies now, man. There's been many of them from this church leave to turn aside to lies. Bunch of lies. But what we have is when we got saved, we got a new song. Lord help me. When I got saved, I had a new song in my mouth. Does everybody understand that? Everybody okay, right? Okay. The word song can be the word song can also equate to the word testimony. Do you know that? It can also equate to the word testimony. So let me tell you something. When you got saved, a new song should have appeared in your album. Amen. A new song should have appeared in your radio station. Amen. Amen. Everybody okay? When you got saved, that music that you used to listen to did not become so convincing anymore and did not become so appealing anymore either. You did not want to listen to that old rock, rap, country mess. Because when they start talking about, oh man, the Lord just helped me. The Lord just helped me here. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you why you don't want to do that. Back where we began, I was reading earlier and I realized the verse that just stuck out to me. Thank you, God. But in verse 22 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, is anybody still there? What does it say? Read it to me. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So what I'm going to tell you is that if it even appears to be evil, you're supposed to abstain from it. Amen? That means your music, if it starts to come out your mouth, you're supposed to ask God to forgive you because you did not abstain that evil. Hey, I'm just preaching the Bible. But let me tell you what else I'll go ahead and hit on while I'm here. What you wear on Halloween and dress up for, that's not abstaining from evil, amen. It's not. How do you know? Well, when you dress your kids up like a devil, is it abstaining from evil? When you dress your kids up like a ghost or something that isn't real, is that evil? It is. It is. And it says to shun yourself from witchcraft, to be separate from witchcraft and the things of the sorcerer world. Well, I can go all through it. Witches, ghosts, every single one of them. That's not abstaining from evil, but you got to abstain from that evil. When you abstain from even the appearance of it, your song changes, amen? And when your song changes, then people don't have to worry about if you're a Christian anymore. I heard a man say, Tim Failure, I've listened to him many times, he's a man of God if there is one, amen? I promise you, he's bolder and a whole lot more than any of these Baptist preachers nowadays. Ask Brett, ask JD, they've heard him. I promise you, that guy's rough. But what he'll tell you this, he says this, he says the facts are, is if when you meet me, if you tell me what radio station you listen to or what album you have on your phone, then I can tell you if you're a Christian or not. I believe that. I believe that. Why? Because a genuine, wholehearted Christian does not want to listen to that other mess. You got to watch out for the Southern Gospel music today too. Some of that Southern Gospel mess is it's turning into a mess. It's not quite there anymore. Listen to them old times people. Hey, if you don't believe me, let me tell you how the devil's working in his house here. Not this house here, but what I'm saying is in this world, he says he's the prince of the power of the air. Let me tell you how he's working. Does anybody have a vehicle over the age of 2012? Let's go with 2015. Okay, does your vehicle have a CD player? Whose? One, two. So just a few. Yours doesn't? Does yours have a CD player? Yours does? Yours does. Mine doesn't. Hers doesn't. You see how the devil's working his ways? The only thing that you can reach on your Apple iPhone, practically, most of the time, is Southern Gospel music. Now, I love Southern Gospel music. Don't get me wrong. But you can't reach a whole lot more. Your radio does not play Southern Gospel music unless you play it. AM channels, which does not pick up around here good. See how he's working? See how he's working? What else do we have? So when you know the Lancasters, the AG family, the CDs that were back there, when you know them guys personally and they give you CDs, you have nothing to play it on. So you have to listen to something if you want to listen to anything. So it also conforms you and says, hey, it's okay to listen to that because you just simply want to listen to some music. But let me tell you and convince you tonight that it's still not okay. Amen? It's not okay. It's not. I promise you. I had to work around it for over a year. And I had to work around that mess every day. And what I had to think to myself is, Lord, please God, don't let me even begin to hum it. Because why? The church crowd is supposed to be separate from the world. And if it even sounds like the world, I don't like it, amen. Some of these people are beginning to fall away. Some of these old-time people are beginning to fall away. They are. They're beginning to fall to the ways of the world for fame. Fortune and fame will always catch you. Not always, but it can. Hate to say this, but C.T. Townsend, who we've been to two youth rallies for, is falling away. He is. His fame has gotten to his head. Do I still like him? Yep. But his fame has gotten to his head. And it's simply become more money than it has become more Jesus. And when it becomes more money, your fame gets to your head and the devil has you trapped. I hated to say that, but we've been to two youth rallies at Mountain Valley Baptist Church. They were mind-blowing youth rallies. We won't be there anymore because he's conforming to the world. He still sings the old stuff. He still preaches the old way. But there's some things in between the people he's associating with. Not good. Keep your song. Your song is your testimony. If you pull up to a red light and your window is down in the middle of summer and you're playing some kind of country song and somebody pulls up, or country or rap or rock or whatever other genre they is, then let me tell you something. The person beside you does not think you're a Christian. Amen, right? Amen. That's the truth. People don't think that. And I want people to thank me in every testimony that I have. When they pull up to a red light beside me, I want them to hear the gospel. Amen. Hey, I'll crank it up and say, hey, listen to this, feller. Hey, that's the thing. You can share your gospel and share your testimony through the music. When I pull up to somewhere and I open my door and I ain't cut my truck off yet, it's going to be blasting music out there. And they're going to hear it one way or the other. If they don't like it, then lump it. That's what I say all the time. Amen. The thing about it is that our testimony matters, and so does our song. Amen. Keep with the old stuff. There's too many ways to conform to the world nowadays. There's going to continue to grow more ways to conform to the world. Hey, don't be ripping a hole in your pants, boy. What we have here is we have all this stuff in today's generation that's terrible. And these kids, if they don't listen to the right stuff, they'll conform to the world too. The facts are is that we need a new song. We need to keep that song. Then we also see this other thing that we have. Number 6. I am thankful for the saints of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the saints of God. Those saints who have stood the test. Who have been just burnt in the fire. Who have been through the fire, burnt, come out stronger than they were when they went in, amen. I can learn from them. The old time gospel type shouting, preaching, I love that stuff. That's my way of worship. If you don't like it, then oh well. But I love it, amen. I love it. I can look up to them guys. I tell you, Brother Randy Bain, I can look up to Randy Bain. Randy Bain's helped me tremendously throughout my route of ministry. Randy Bain, Shane Jackson, oh my goodness, he texts me every day. The man's a motivator if there is one. He texted me this morning. He just loved on me a little bit over the phone. I cried a little bit. Thank God for him. I thank God for Keith Russell. I thank God for all these men of God who have raised up Dr. Whittemore, have been such a blessing to me. All these men of God who are really well known. But what they are is really, really well known to the King. Amen. God knows them. God knows them. Rudy Smith. All them men of God have showed me the ways of this old-time gospel stuff and how we can stick with it. And they've told me, hey, brother, you call me anytime, I'll be there. And they have been. They haven't failed me at all. There's a few that have, but that's okay. I just don't look to them anymore, amen. But the facts are is that Shane Jackson stood by my side. That man's been there. And I know that that man's been through the fire. Tried in the fire. But I thank God for them saints of God. Them men I can go to. I thank God that I can go to them and thank God for them and just shout with them, worship with them, grow with them, learn from them, preach beside them. Thank God for the opportunities, but lastly but not least, amen, it's not least at all, I thank God for not only all the other things that I've mentioned, but I thank God for my salvation. I thank Him for my salvation. In the book of Isaiah, there, it talks about something that I've never really seen before, and I've read Isaiah. But the book of Isaiah will tell you all about it, and it's phenomenal to me how God will just show something that you know you've read past it so many times. But when He shows you that one time, you're like, oh my goodness, Lord, I didn't know it was there. I didn't know it was there, but thank you, God, for showing me. And in Isaiah chapter 12, it'll tell you what I'm talking about there. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength." We've already went through my strength. "He's my song. And He also is my salvation." Amen. Thank God that He's my song. He's my strength. He's my high tower. And He is my salvation. Amen. I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful that He saved me from that place called hell. Without it, where would I be? Hell. That's exactly where I'd be. I'd be in hell. I deserve hell. I deserve to go in hell. I deserve to go into hell tomorrow day. Tonight, I deserve to go to hell. But a lot of people today are going to go into hell in a handbasket, amen. They're going to fly down that place. They're going to go down in there because they've never heard the gospel preached. Oh, I go to church, man. My preacher's awesome. I tell you, we can listen to those contemporary songs. We can sing those contemporary songs all day long. We can listen to those things, the ones that have zero spirit in it. My preacher tells me that everything's going to be okay. He preaches on prosperity and everything's good. I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to have a 4-year degree. And I know I'm going to be a billionaire one day. Amen. And that's all that matters. Bull. You're going to be a billionaire in hell too is what you're going to be. And what we're going to need in this generation that's coming up is something much more than the prosperity preaching. How do you know that? This is how I know that. Alright. You kids, come here again. Get up on the pew. I told them this morning that's the only time they're going to be able to do that. And against my word, get up there. Get up there. Get up there. Get up there. Alright. Here's what we have, church. I'm going to look at it from a bird's eye view from where you're looking at it, okay? So look at them. Tell me, what do they need to hear? Do they need to hear that tomorrow, who has been saved in this crowd? Raise your right hand. Right hand, Jeremiah. Who has been saved? Okay. So the other ones, oh, thank you for being honest. Thank God for y'all being honest. I tricked y'all into that one by the Lord's help. Put your hands down. The facts are tonight is that we have four of them. I'm calling them. I'm not going to call them by name. But we have four who said they're not saved, okay? So what do they need to hear by saying that? They need to hear this. It's going to be okay if you don't get saved tonight, okay? Now listen. It's going to be okay if you don't get saved tomorrow. It's going to be okay if you don't get saved in a year. That's not what I'm preaching to you guys. Because I don't know. Okay? But what I can tell y'all is that God is gracious. God loves each and every one of you. And God is good. And God's salvation is still enough. Right? It's still enough. And what we have today is we have a bunch of people in a bunch of churches, in big, massive, mega churches that have 50 kids, 30 kids, 150 kids, and all they tell them week after week after week after week is that it's okay because they're going to go to college. That's the most important thing, is that they go to college, they get a degree, they make it to the millions, they make it real high notch, and it gets to their head, and then they have no chance at hell, heaven. You can get down, kids. Thank you. But church, I'm afraid that that's not what I see today. Because they really, literally tell them that stuff in thousands of churches across this land. The preacher has no relationship with the kids. They have not much relationship. They have nothing that's genuine. And where I'm getting at today is I want this church to grow tremendously. But where I'm getting at is I thank God for where it's at today. And I hope that we bust out these windows in the next 5 months. But I can promise you all one thing. That even if we do, with the Lord's help, we're sticking to the old path. Those kids are still going to know that heaven is real and hell is hot. They are going to know that school is important. No, I'm talking about school. As I said, school is important. Sunday school is important, yes. A degree is important. But when you get to your last breath, the most important thing of all is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what I want to preach to them. That's what I want to preach to you. Amen. That it does not matter how much you have in this earth. Is that what matters the most is your relationship between you and the Father. And I'm thankful for the salvation that we have. I'm thankful that we have the right of freedom of speech to be able to preach as hard as we possibly can week after week after week to these kids to get them to know that hell is a real place. Kids, look at me. Do you believe hell is real? Learned it, right? That's what you need to know. Thank you for answering me. You need to know that hell is real. And listen, here's the phenomenal thing about it. Some of you may be sitting on your seat and saying, oh man, I wish that preacher would say that. Because he might convince him to come to the altar and get saved tonight. No, I ain't going to do no convincing because I know how the Spirit draws somebody. If the Spirit of God ain't drawing them, then by golly, they ain't going to get saved. I don't care if they come up here and they say all kinds of stuff. The Spirit has to draw them first. They could go through the whole repeating Romans road. But you know what? Unless the Spirit's drawing them, they cannot be saved. The Spirit has to do all the drawing. But simply, we need to get excited about being saved, amen? Because our kids need to see it. Our nieces need to see it. Our nephews need to see it. Our grandparents might need to see it. Our parents may need to see it. But I know one thing, that some of the kids that come to church, their parents do need to see it. And the facts are, is that they didn't learn anything from it. I pray to God that they learn something from my preaching. And I pray to God, God always allows layman's terms to come out my mouth. So that even the babe can understand. Because the facts are is that we need to be thankful. So let's be thankful for how good God has been. Let's be thankful for how good He has been. Has He blessed you in your substances, church? He's blessed me in mine. Has He supplied? He supplied for me. Amen. Are you satisfied with it? Amen. I'm satisfied with Him, but I want more. Amen. I'm satisfied with what I got, but I still want more. Amen. That's how it works. That's how I think about it. I prayed this prayer before. I'll say, Lord, I am satisfied with You. But I want more. Give me more. But I also say this. Lord, I'm satisfied with You, but are You satisfied with me? We might be satisfied with Him all day. If He ain't satisfied with you, is the other part even matter that much? It matters if He's satisfied with you. So therefore we have the fact of our substances, the fact of Him supplying, the fact of us being satisfied, but also has He given you any strength to get up in the morning? He sure has given me plenty of strength. He sure has given me plenty of strength. I tell you, did He give you a new song? Sing it. Amen. Sing it. Tell that testimony to all the world. Go into all the nations and preach the gospel. That's what we need to do. We need to be evangelists. We're evangelists in today's nations. We're evangelists. And I thank God that He put a new song in my heart. But I need to sing it is what I need to do. I need to sing it. Has He blessed you with old saints? He sure has blessed me with old saints. Oh my goodness. He's blessed me with some guys who might be my age. They might not be old, but in their mind, They wise. Pray God helps me. Pray God helps me. But He sure has given me some old saints to look up to. But lastly, has He saved you? Kids, pay attention. Adults, pay attention. Has He saved you? We need to ask ourselves that question today. Because if He has, you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful for every single opportunity that He gives you. Because if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ, where would we really be? Where would we really be? We can ask ourselves on a daily where it is. Why can we? Why? How can we make it, Lord? How can we do it? But it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I got saved, this became my song. Amen. And I thank God for it. It goes like this. If you know it, if you would stand. And then we're going to find ourselves around the altar. If you feel like God's drawing you to this altar, at some point in time throughout the song, whenever it may be, I pray if you just want to say, God, thank you. If you just want to, if you want to get saved, if you feel like your Spirit's drawing you. Hey, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today.